You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza, and I'm here with Kristen, and together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you again, Liza. And today in the studio, we have Ann Morgan Guru and Colleen Penwell. And they both are with Lilly's Fund for Research. And they're here to talk to us today about some really cool work that they've been doing on epilepsy research. Can you each introduce yourselves a little bit, please?
Hi, my name is Ann Morgan Guru, and I'm with Lilly's Fund. We started Lilly's Fund about 15 years ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. Colleen. And Colleen and I happened to be from the same city, from the same high school, but we didn't meet until we found out our kids had epilepsy. So.
Oh, wow.
And I'm Colleen Murphy-Penwell, and I try to sort of co-pilot things with Anne as best as I can. She was the founder of Lilly's Fund. I have three kids, one of whom happens to have epilepsy.
Got it. Great. Thank you. What was the high school that you guys went to? Where'd you grow up?
Madison Edgewood.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay. But you guys didn't know each other until adulthood and parenthood. That's wild.
Oh, wow.
Tell us a little bit about the history of Lilly's Fund.
When our daughter Lily was diagnosed with epilepsy, we were pretty overwhelmed with caregiving and trying to figure out what to do and worried and anxious. But as years went by and she got her seizures under control, we started doing a little noodling ourselves for what kind of research was out there and found a dearth of epilepsy research for how many people it affects. And around the same time, a article in the State Journal appeared about some cutting-edge research happening at UW. So I'm from UW. I'm a graduate. My husband got his master's here. He works here at UW, and we literally live a stone's throw away from the campus. And so we got pretty excited to meet with these folks who were doing the research. We met with them. And they were just as excited to see that people were interested in their research.
Exactly.
And so a relationship kind of was born out from that. And so began the first kind of donation to epilepsy research from us. And that was sort of the seed that started. And from there grew an event called Lily's Luau, which is how I met Colleen.
Okay. Colleen, you want to pick up from there, like in terms of what was Lily's Luau and...
Sure. So we were introduced to Lily's Luau through some mutual friends who had heard about it and said, you know, you need to come. And it was one of those, as a care provider, interesting time periods, which we all have, you know, moments. Yeah. And, you know, I'm pretty involved in the community and don't hesitate to jump in on things, but was so consumed, you know, at this point, our daughter Grace was maybe 10 or so, and just consumed with just the overwhelming commitment that we've, many of us have experienced with her care, trying to navigate it with our other kids, the whole family spiel. And so for whatever reason, I just was involved in lots of things, but nothing really that had to do with epilepsy. And frankly, and this was something that Anne and I found we had in common. When we did our initial searches for groups and pieces of information and all of that, when our daughters were first diagnosed, we kind of were left feeling underwhelmed and lost with what was available. And so for whatever reason, I just kind of went away from it and was in survival mode. And it was enough time that had gone past that when this Lily's Luau, Lily's Fund thing came in front of me, I went to the first luau that existed, and I'm a pretty, you know, together person, and the slideshow came on and I started bawling. And it was sort of that moment that we've all had, and you realize, okay, I kind of get this. This seems like my people and my person, and kind of jumped in. And
getting chills. That's great.
Me as well.
Exactly.
And boom.
It's
so
true how you can just have that almost physical reaction when you're like, finally, there's other people who are going to get me, and I'm going to get them.
Right. And it could have been 4 years before that. And if the timing wasn't right, then it could have just kind of gone away. But and that's an important message, I think, for care providers, that there's no one correct answer for when and why. You kind of have to just, you know, keep your eyes open.
Sure. Right. Exactly. And I mean, I know I also get stuck with taking on too much. Right. So it's like, I like that point that you made about how it's the right timing and things are going to ebb and flow in your life, in your daughter's life. You know, Nicole has epilepsy too. So that's how we all met. And yeah, there's just years where you've got to focus on the seizure management and you can't be thinking about advocacy and research. And then there's other years where it's like, okay, I'm digging into that stuff because she seems to be pretty
right.
stable at the moment. So great. Well, really cool experience and great personal stories.
Yeah, that's interesting with the divine timing. I think we kind of meant the same way, Kristen and I, with going to a support group for children with autism. And that's how we first introduced ourselves and met, and here we are. Huh. So, yeah, it's all meant to be. Could you speak a little bit more about your personal experience with caregiving? How did your journey with epilepsy go from the initial diagnosis to where we're at today?
I feel like in some ways for our family, it kind of, I'm sure there's this 7-step process of whatever, like there are with so many things, but there's that denial. And then it seems this ever going search for the next thing. And with epilepsy, it's, you know, I think that many people are controlled. Their seizures are controlled with medications. And then there's a good 20%+ of folks whose seizures are not controlled. Our daughter happens to fall into that unfortunate category, and then and so it was a long time of denial and then survival and then constantly searching for the next thing to try, and then finally reaching a point, she's 23 now, somewhere along the line in high school, kind of reaching this point of, okay, we're in sort of a quality of life focus, and it's just an evolution. And so evolution is, I think, an important part of it. We're not in this desperate search now.
Sure.
Sure.
They call that acceptance.
Acceptance.
Right. Yeah. See? It's a 7-step something.
Yep. Exactly. The voice of reason.
So our story is similar and different, but, when Lily was a toddler, she, you know, she's starting to walk and everything, and we had noticed she had these weird mannerisms. She would be sucking her thumb and humming at the same time, and her eyes would just quickly kind of roll back a bit, and we thought it was a behavior. And then as she started toddling, she started falling, and more, and it just, you know, mother's intuition just didn't quite feel right. But we kept bringing her into the doctor, and didn't know what was wrong. So it wasn't until I caught it on video, the falls, and we took her into the ER, and they finally captured on EEG the seizure activity. So, and at that time we were told a seizure disorder, and I was like, oh, okay. Didn't know what that meant, and didn't realize that meant epilepsy. Like, it was sort of the epilepsy light term, you know. It didn't quite hit me as hard, and it wasn't for a while that I really connected, oh my God, this is epilepsy. And I've never heard, and no one in our family has it. She didn't have any traumatic brain injury that I know of. I mean, where the hell this come from, you know?
Yeah, I'm nodding my head like you're telling my story. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of how we began. And we were the panicked family, or I was the panicked mother. I shouldn't speak for the rest of the family, but I was desperate for why this happened, what can control it, where's the cure, and you know, how do we solve this problem? I'm a big problem solver. And so I was on the internet, and rule number one, don't go on the internet right when you're in the midst of panic. And so, yeah, there's some desperate years there that I felt like I was in an uncontrolled mode.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing that right, outside of doing the internet, which I agree, don't run to the internet, did you feel like there was resources and support? Were the doctors giving you the answers, or were you feeling really lost?
Yes, lost. I think just over the 20-some years we've been at this, the amount of information and resources has improved greatly. For our daughter, Grace had her first seizure when she was 9 months old. I called 911. I had no idea. I had never seen a seizure. I had no idea what was going on. And we were assured, oh, no worries. This is their febrile seizures. 4% of babies have febrile seizures. She'll grow out of it. And over the course of the next, it was almost 2 years, and then having them happen more and more without a fever, that finally, after that long, she was diagnosed with epilepsy. Well, the first call was to call, you know, the foundation and to go and read as much as we could. And you know, at the time, I feel like I have to give people credit that everybody's trying to do their job as best as they can with the resources that they can, that they have in front of them, both the parents and the medical providers. That said, you know, there was not a much hand-holding or support on even from our family practice doctor to the specialist saying, you need to get some extra help. She's going to have probably some issues. I think as a parent, oftentimes you want to, of course you want to be optimistic and think, okay, well, this will all go away. In hindsight, we have the benefit of hindsight now. I really do wish that somebody would have said, go look at these resources now. Maybe you won't need them, but it would be really good if you had some help. And that applies not only to our daughter, Grace, but also to our other two kids, and sort of resources to help your family structure.
Definitely. Yeah, it definitely impacts the whole family. And mm-hmm. I can get that from when my son had the autism diagnosis. It's like, your son has autism. Okay. Well, my visit here is done, you know, and off they go. And it's like, now what? And Kristen, what was your initial experience with epilepsy?
It was very, very similar. Excuse me. It was very similar to what Colleen's talking about. And I think that having that ability to be able to get resources sooner and understanding stuff will be great. And I think it's really cool that the government, through the Family Caregiver Act, is starting to address some of the needs that mm-hmm. people have that are in this role. And one of the goals is to actually make sure that people are understanding, as caregivers, especially family caregivers, that they should become a crucial part of the medical team. And I'm hearing that, and I know from talking to these women before, that that's a really important step, and it can be very scary and overwhelming. Like, how do I break that down? How do I get through the medicalese? But you just got to be tenacious, right?
Yeah, definitely a lot of work on the parents' end to try to figure it out of the get-go. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. We'll be back right after this break.